Let's start from the top. This is my mom, Nelly Alvarado.
Yeah.
Y dice en español.
Bienvenido a encontrar lo gracioso con Lisa Alvarado.
You nailed it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Una vez más.
Yay, yay.
That's my mom getting the chancla out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Find the Funny with me, Lisa Alvarado. All right. This is what? Episode 2 of the new year, I think. It's 2024, you guys, and I have a fantastic guest. I have my very good friend, R.T. Steckel. Did I say that right?
Yes, you got it right.
I finally got it right.
I heard
right.
you practicing it, and I didn't want to mess it up or jinx it, but
Steckel,
you got it.
Steckel. Steckel.
Yeah, that was
Can you guys say it? Can you say it? It's hard. See? I'm telling you.
These two-syllable words, they're tough.
Shut up. Okay, so what does RT stand for? I never asked you that.
Rich and tan. I'm 0 for 2.
I'm 0 for 2. Nice.
So okay. I'm working on that. I'm in LA, so it's like I'm trying to get the tan part covered. Yeah. And then we'll see if we can make the money after that. And figure.
You know. Rich and tan. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
I like that. At least it's not rich and orange. We know somebody like that. All right, cool. So I know RT. How many years have we known each other?
It's been a while now. I think probably at least 7 or 8 years or something like
that. Yeah, we met in Los Angeles at which
club? A couple of the clubs, maybe the Improv or something.
Yeah, and then, probably at the Improv, the Haha.
For sure.
Yeah, the Ice House, all of those.
Yep, the local haunts, yeah,
for Super sure. fun. And how long have you been working on some of the ships?
10 years, I think, now. It flies by,
I think that's probably more than me.
Yeah.
I think I'm at 8 or 9 years.
It goes by fast. You don't know where it goes. But
I know. They kind of rope you. Which one do you like better? Do you like ships or do you like land gigs, the clubs better?
I mean, the land gigs are always fun. You know, ship gigs, you probably get paid more. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's the thing.
You know, and you don't have to, you know, get yourself to Des Moines, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, you know.
Well, that would be a very small boat
right.
coming out of Des Moines.
The river cruise.
It's going down the
Performing
river.
Performing for 4 people.
Yes. Yeah, right. Exactly. So what do you like, I would say, most about the ship life? Like the ships, working the ships, what's the biggest advantage?
Probably just the, honestly, the travel, like the places you get to go and see, it's, you know what I mean? You know, I was fortunate enough to go do Europe all summer, and it's like places that I would not normally, I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to go pay to, I mean, Norway's expensive. Flight to Norway's expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I get to go there for free, and it's like, and then get paid. So you're like, deal.
That's you know? That's true.
You know, and it's a workcation. Like I said, it's not, no offense to Des Moines or, you know, Omaha, but you know what I mean?
Or like, Utah. I mean, we could name all the ones that we don't. Sorry.
Great. We've been canceled Utah. I know. Sorry. Quick, hide the coffee. The Mormons are here.
Yeah. What's the most interesting place that you've gotten to travel to doing stand-up comedy?
Let's see. Probably... I mean, Italy, Sicily was nice. I got to walk around Sicily. Yeah. And the funny thing is I'm driving in and, you know, like I've seen all the mob specials and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you're driving into all these places, you see, you know, Palermo and, you know, all the names of these, historic mob towns. And you're I'm freaking out. Like probably a kid at Disneyland. It's like, oh, that's where so-and-so got whacked.
Yeah, yeah. That's
where Jimmy the Two Feet got whacked. And you're like, who the fuck is that? I don't know.
It's probably Sarah's cousin, actually. She's Italian.
Oh, here we go.
What side are you from?
Now I'm going to get whacked after this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Sicily.
Sicily. Oh,
now I'm definitely going to die after the show.
Yeah,
it's been great seeing everybody and talking to you, Lisa.
Between a Latina.
Actually, Naples is where all the mobsters really hung out.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm full on mob.
Full on mob. Yeah, and she's my producer, so.
She's getting it done, getting stuff done.
Yeah. I think that probably one of the best, most unique, cool places I went to was Dubai.
Oh, Dubai.
Yes. Did you hear about all the comics going out there to do those clubs out there?
Yes, for sure.
Oh,
yeah, I never did the Dubai run, but Japan for sure was definitely interesting.
Was that a military tour?
Japan was a military tour.
But the great thing about military tours is you actually get to go, the people from the base actually take you around and show you places.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Where you never would see because they're private
for sure.
To the base.
I mean, in the base in Japan we were at, I can't remember the name, but, you know, Mount Fuji is just right there and you're just looking at it.
Wow.
You know, and that was a funny story. We had the show got canceled because there was a typhoon and a tsunami.
What?
Yes. And it was scary because, like, I tell a joke about it because the they're not expressive people. And so when he's making the announcement at the airport, because I hear it in the airport, and I'm like, to the other comic, is that where we're going?
Yeah.
And then he was like, I think that's where we're going. But the guy's like, yes, there's a typhoon and a tsunami coming. So, and you're like, that
totally
show some urgency.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the show got canceled and we got trapped in the little barracks for 2 days and had to eat MREs for two freaking days.
Oh, wow.
It was so hilarious. It was no joke.
Yeah, it's super scary. That I've had friends, situations actually arise when they were out there and had to be, like, helicoptered out and things like that. I was supposed to go to Egypt in January, and they canceled that, which I'm happy that they canceled that, but I'm so bummed.
At the war.
Egypt, yeah, exactly. Oh, you look Egyptian. No, we're going to kidnap you, Lisa.
Put on this burqa.
Yeah, exactly. But these are the awesome places we get to see. What would you say is the thing you like the least about working on the ships?
Well, it's really just stand-up in general is the travel, is sitting, yes. Sitting at the airport.
Right.
And I think I'm going to bring a uniform that says Common Sense Police.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to police the people in the airport because it's unbearable. This one lady I saw, she was looking through something in her bag.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's fine. We all do that. Oh, where's my so-and-so? But she did it like in the middle of the where everyone walks and had four bags and was just down there. And you're just like, you didn't want to go near the wall.
Yeah.
Get out of people's way to go do that.
Exactly. So she's moving dildos.
Right. She's got a dead cat rubber
in there.
Ducky. It's like, yeah.
It's like, oh, lady.
Clown bag. Whistles in there.
Well, the thing I hate too is when they weigh your bag and then that person has to take out like 3 pounds worth of stuff, but they got to do it in front of everybody. Right. Like people are waiting right behind you getting pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, who has a scale?
And they're like, here, I'll just put these sweaters on. And then they have like 7 sweaters on. And
yeah. I know comics that do that because they don't want to pay for the bag. They literally put outfits and outfits on so that they can do a freaking carry on.
That's funny.
I need too many shoes.
Yeah,
that's
what it is the travel, the crying babies, hearing all the babies just fussing. And look, I can tell the difference between a baby that's, and I don't even have kids, but it's like, but I parent people's kids at the airport because parents don't want to do it.
Yep.
But like, you could tell a baby that's like fussing because like they're really fussing, or a baby that's whining.
Right.
You know, a 3-year-old that's whining because it's not getting its way, you know? It's
right. Like, yeah. You can tell the difference.
You can tell the difference for sure.
Have you ever yelled at a kid on an airplane? Because I have.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you?
Yes. Good. I didn't hit him, but but I wanted to.
United would have given you extra miles.
First class. You come to first class. All the other passengers. Yes. Shut that baby up. Yes. One time, I won't say the nationality.
that's obvious already. Every
good
one
joke
of two.
Starts that way. No, what do you think it is? Okay, Indian, you're incorrect. All right, no. And so the mom was holding the kid, and the kid was like, you know, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Old enough to know.
Yes.
And so, you know, she's got the iPad out, but when you take off, you have to put the iPad up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this was a mistake. And so the mom was putting it up, and the kid started doing the drop, you know, drop to the ground and started fussing and whining.
Yeah.
And then the mom grabbed him and tried to calm him down.
Yeah.
And the kid slapped his mom.
Oh, whoa.
And I was just sitting there in shock going, did the little boy, and the mom didn't even do anything.
Man. That's why he did it.
Yeah, because he just...
Because he knew.
You know, the mom was acting like, oh, stop slapping me in the face. It's so cute when you slap me in the face. Yeah. And so I looked at the kid. I squared up. I mean, when he looked at me, I kind of caught his gaze. I was making sure he was looking at me, and I was like, we are not going to hit people. You are not going to hit your mom, so you need to calm down.
Good.
Because I'm not dealing with this the whole flight.
Wow.
She make out with you? I would have. I'd have been like, come here.
I didn't want any part of this situation. Yes. I didn't want her
yes.
or him.
Exactly.
I knew they were, it's a package deal.
It is a package deal.
So, but yes, and guess what? I'll be damned if the kid didn't shut up the rest of the flight and didn't hit his mom and like.
It's amazing how men have this ability to speak to a child and all of a sudden they listen. They have this bass in their voice and they have this intimidation factor. But a woman, it's like, yeah, no, I'm good. You want to get slapped?
Airport.
That's probably what this little shit would have said to me.
Leaving, I don't know where, somewhere in the Caribbean. Yeah. And this Australian family is behind me. And, you know, sometimes when you get to the airport for certain flights that are just weird flights, nobody's at the gate. Nobody's, you know, they're ready to take your tickets and process people.
Right.
So sometimes you stand in line for an hour or something.
Right.
And so I'm in line for an hour, and this Australian family's got two kids, like 10 and 12 or something. And they just keep roughhousing. And the dad won't really say anything, and the mom won't really say anything. And they got the kind of ropes.
Yeah.
Up. And so I'm just standing there, you know, and they kick one of the ropes and, you know, and the stanchion or the stand kind of, you know, hits me and I'm like, all right. And they just keep yelling and fighting. And the dad's like, you know, knock it off, guys. You got to knock it off.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, but he's not doing enough.
Right.
And then so finally it happens again where the kid hits the little thing and I turn around and they were like hitting each other. And the dad was like, you know, you guys got to stop hitting each other.
Yeah.
And so they're hitting each other and it's like getting violent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to deal with this for, I don't know, another 30, 45 hour. I don't know.
Right, right.
So I turn around and go, hey, we are not going to hit because if you guys start hitting, then I'm going to start hitting. And you don't want me to start hitting. And the guy, the Australian dad co-signs, he's like, yeah, listen to that guy.
Oh,
you don't want to get hit by this guy.
You're so lucky.
And the dad was like, yeah, tell him, you parent my kids.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. How do you do that? How do you do that, buddy? Can you just tell him?
Exactly. You just tell him what to do in a stern voice without being like, you know, passive aggressive with it. It's
like, and then he's like, just do it. Say that to my wife. Can you say that to her? Can you? These people.
Honey, you've got to use the treadmill.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to. Yeah. I bought it
you
for a reason.
Start walking. Yeah.
I know it's kind of a backhanded Christmas present.
Yeah. Yeah. RT, tell her. Tell her how big her ass is getting.
I get it. The treadmill and the washing machine was a bit too much. The
dishwashing
machine and treadmill.
That is a bad combo.
This relationship's over.
Yeah.
Like a makeup kit.
Oh, man. That's the thing that I love about stand-up is like it's those kinds of situations that we have to actually deal with in shows.
Yes.
Have you ever had, I've had in PG shows, I've actually had kids come up on the stage, run up on the stage, and their parents like, hey, Billy, you can't be up there. Isn't that cute?
Stop horsing around, Billy.
Yeah. Yeah. And just this past gig, there was a kid in the front row sitting by himself. And I was like, son of a. You're supposed to be accompanied by your parents or somebody that's going to watch you that's over 18.
I got heckled by a kid.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
I got heckled by a 9-year-old girl. And I was angry because it was the best laugh of the night so far. Like, I had not been able to get.
Because,
you know, when you first start warming up, like, you don't come out running.
Yeah.
Like, and hey, everybody, we're doing the show.
Yeah, you know.
You come out, everybody doing good. What, you know?
You say your greeting. Yeah.
Your greetings. Exactly. You're warming up.
Right.
You know.
She's like, you suck.
And kids don't understand that. And so, you know, hey, where are you guys from? What are you guys doing? Are you guys married? You know, you do a couple of that, 5 minutes of that. After 5 minutes, 9-year-old girl goes, when did the joke start?
Oh, man.
And everyone laughed, and I freaking laughed.
Goodness.
I laughed so hard because I was like, that was the funniest thing that could have been said right now because it was the honest truth and I had not started any jokes and she was ready for the comedy show.
She's like, excuse me, clown.
Yeah,
when did the joke start?
Where are the balloons? Make a motorcycle.
Get
to the jokes, clown boy.
My parents paid really good money for
this cruise. Exactly. Those shoes aren't that big. Where's your yellow?
That happened to me too. Something really similar. A kid said that to me, and it was a girl. And I was like, well, someone's going to have to marry her. Her parents were not happy, but the rest of the audience loved it. It was, I probably got a complaint. I'm sure I did, but I was like, ooh, who's got to marry that later?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, someone's got to deal with it. Wow.
Oh, so there's got to be some juicy road stories you have after doing it. How many years have you been in stand-up?
Well, I started in 96, but you know, you don't get paid
right
for like many years after.
Right, right. But I count those years.
I call it like the beer and chicken wing years.
You know? Yes.
Like, here, you want beer and chicken wings to perform? You're like, yes.
Yeah, and you're lucky if you get that the first couple years.
Yeah, it's
mostly you're paying $5 for stage time nowadays. That's how they do it.
Oh, Jesus. Ugh.
What crazy stories? You said you went to Amsterdam?
Oh, yeah, I went to Amsterdam, yes. We had, we were booked in Amsterdam and Germany. And
nice.
So when we were in Germany, we drove to Amsterdam. And this might have been two separate tours, but this one was like a military tour. So
right, right.
The person's taking us around. And we drive up to Amsterdam, which only takes, you know, because everything's close in Europe. So you get to Amsterdam in like 3 hours or something.
Right.
And so we go to the coffee shops and we had the day off, of course. So we were like, went and just got blazed as hell in the coffee shops. I don't even drink coffee, but I had like 8 coffees just sipping on it and just getting buzzed and getting fucked up. And so we all buy all this, you know, weed and
I was like, wait a minute, you're buzzed on coffee or weed? This is Amsterdam.
Coffee and weed, exactly, both. But I'm
My goodness.
I'm countering, it's, you know, a hippie speedball. It's like weed to calm you down and coffee to speed you up, you know?
Yeah.
And so we get baked for like freaking, you know, 7-8 hours
in a
coffee shop. And then we drive back, of course, go eat some food. And the promoter is like, yeah, you guys can't bring the weed back. Like, and cause you know, we had all bought something. We're excited that we got something, you know? And we all got together. It was like, you know, League of Injustice or some shit. Like, we all gathered around and we're like, we can't do that. Cause if we go back to the base or something and
that's,
you know, they're dogs or something, you know, and then the tour is over and we'll never come back and then we're screwed. Right. So we all gathered together and we put the weed in like one bag and we put everything we had in one bag and said like a prayer around the garbage can. Then we just threw it in the garbage.
We said a prayer. Lord, can this go to somebody that really needs it?
That really needs it.
Like the guy with the two kids. Can he just have this weed, Lord?
He needs it.
He's going to need it. Yeah.
And so we get back and then the depression sets in because you're like, now you have no weed and you're going to be there another, whatever, 3 or 4 days or 5 days or some shit.
Yeah.
And so you're just pissed. And then it was a little chilly one day. And so, you know, it'd been like 2 days or something. And we were in a different place and I put on my jacket and I kind of patted my pocket and I'm like, that's something.
That feels like
what
a
is
joint.
That? Something. So I reached in there, it was like a gram of hash.
Wow.
And I was like, yes, we were all happy. Everybody just jumped for joy. It was like kids at Christmas, like, yes.
Because you didn't mean to do it. So
no,
it's
exactly.
Not like
that,
you even,
no, I did not mean to
so
smuggle.
So you were okay with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
I had no moral issue with it because I knew everybody emptied everything and threw everything away.
Yeah, threw it away.
And then I just have
to. Why didn't you give it
pocket.
To somebody? Why didn't you somebody?
We weren't thinking. I know.
I mean,
it's
the
like,
other thing is like someone's going to trust it. 3 comics are just going to be like, yeah, hey, it's not laced.
Hey, man.
It's all good.
Yeah,
why aren't
around,
you smoking
guys.
It then?
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Yeah, I was always really, really paranoid of doing something wrong on the base because they're very strict.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of there's even guidelines on us taping our shows or taping anybody in the base. I had to sign all this paperwork. To go on military tours that you would not do this. You won't do this. You won't talk about that. You can't talk about the president. And I get that. Oh, so this just happened to me. I did a show and there was this woman in the audience who came, really loved the show. She was there with her husband. Then she goes, after your show, we went to the casino. We're having a good time. Somebody comes up to me at the casino and goes, oh, you're the comedian. And she said, I didn't understand them. So I thought, oh, you went to the comedy show. And she's like, oh yeah, it was fantastic. He's like, well, yeah, you were funny, but you did offend me. And starts going down about how she needs to change a joke. And she was like, no, I'm not the comedian. And she was just a woman with brown curly hair.
But that was getting...
And she goes, I hope I didn't offend you. And I go, why? And she goes, because I don't look like you. She doesn't. And I was like, this idiot, just because she had lighter skin and curly hair, she was
ethnic. Thought it was you.
Yeah. And I looked at her and was like, you don't look like me.
maybe, how did we get mixed up?
Yeah, how did they think you were me? She was prettier. Shut up. All right, so... so she was like, I can't believe what you guys go through. Like, that guy just came up to me in my space while I was at a casino thinking I was you. So one, he's coming up to me during my personal time. Yeah. And two, he's telling me what I can and can't do in my show and never said, hey, I liked your show, but this, or what did you mean when you said that? Mm. Just immediately. She goes, just within a few minutes, I had complete empathy. And couldn't believe what you guys go through, because not just what you do on stage and how people heckle while you're on the stage, but then you leave, you're done with your job, and they come and find you to tell you.
Send you messages online or something, you know, and you just, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is most people don't understand everything that we have to go through just from beginning to end, beginning of our careers to, you know, when it ends. And it's like, you know, for example, when I started, you know, you have to do every room you can just to try to get better. You know, you're doing, you know, you're four, five, six, seven spots a night trying to find something and improve yourself because you just can't get stage time. And, so one of the open mics I would go to, and I remember the first time I went, like I realized the host would pass out Nerf balls and they would throw them at you if they didn't like you.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wow. And so, and I remember the story because it just, it has so many facets to it about just entertainment and being a performer and, you know, the way you look at stuff. And so I go there and of course you're nervous as shit because you're like, they're going to throw these balls at me. Like, what? This is terrible. Yeah. So anyway, I was like, you got to do good. You got to do good. And, you know, when you first start, you don't know it's
until you're usually not funny.
Exactly. Until you start going and then you see, oh, I'm being funny. So that's what happened was the first night I did it, I was hilarious. And, you know, by the end of the show, the owner was, you know, inviting me backstage VIP, I had two girls on each arm and like had, you know, you want some food? He wants something to drink and you know, you're drinking everything you're just putting everything. Oh, this is great. Girls and food and drink and everybody loves you.
Isn't that insane?
You know? And you're like, this is awesome. And then I go back the next week with a big head thinking like, I want to go get some drinks and girls and free food and everybody's going to love me. And then I got up there and then you get hit in the face with Nerf balls and you just get deflated instantly. And so it's just you don't know in this business. Reversal of fortune is like that. Yeah. And then you could be down on your luck and it improves or you could be on top and then you get knocked down. So you really have to have some intestinal fortitude to, you know, to deal with this stuff.
Right. And I think that for us, one of the best things that we can do when that happens to us, when we have a really bad show, is get back on stage and have a better show.
Have a short memory.
Yes. It's like, because I have gone through sets where the audience just, for whatever reason, didn't like me. They didn't feel me. They didn't connect with my comedy. And it just was, but you have to do your time. That's the horrible thing about our job is that if you're scheduled for 45 minutes, guess what? You're doing that 40. They could hate you for 42 of it. And you still have to keep going to get paid.
Oh, yes.
You would think in any other job, if you're failing, like say you're a fireman and you're not putting out a fire, you need to stop. And we need to get someone in there that can put this fire out.
Right.
They're like, nope, just keep blowing air at it. Just is it getting bigger? Keep going. Keep going. You're not done yet. But for us, they want us to burn the house down. And then they want to yell at us for not doing a good job.
I mean, I remember a story of being in one of the clubs in LA and you know, where you do two shows, right? You know, 8 and 10 or something like that. And I closed out the first show and absolutely destroyed.
Awesome.
Standing ovation. And again, I'm like, oh, this is great. And then they were like, hey man, we need you to open up the next show. And so that's fine. I feel good. I'm like, yeah. I'm ready to roll. I'm warmed up. I, you know,
yeah.
I got the juices going. I just crushed. I'm like, this is easy peasy.
Yeah. I get to open. No problem.
Right. No problem. Whatever. I'll wake him up. And then I feel bad for the rest of the comics. They have to follow this.
Follow you.
This heat. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. And so, but it just, again, what a difference a day makes, what a difference 30 minutes makes when I literally just got to stand in an ovation. And then I go up and for some reason the DJ doesn't play the music. And then I get up there and the mic is not on.
Yeah.
And then so now there's, you know, there's no introduction.
Right.
And you just walk up there with no mic and nothing works. And now I got to, hey, can we, you know, you're doing this and no one laughs. So like you said, now I got to sit up there for 12 minutes and.
And everybody hates you.
And everybody hates me.
And now the comics are pissed because they're like, this guy's tanking. Yeah, he's making our job harder because we got to follow this shit.
This guy's bipolar. Bring the last guy back. Bring the guy that was on at 8 back. This dude is horrendous.
Oh, my gosh. But getting up on stage and this getting back there and like cleaning the slate is one of the only ways for us to really kind of shake off that pain.
Yeah. Because it lasts. And you know, I mean, you're probably like me, you go stew about it. Like, you know, I'll be back in the room or something. And then you're like, oh God, I did this. And,
why'd I say that?
Yeah. And you just humbug yourself to death.
Yeah. And you're all upset. And I don't really drink that much after shows or anything like that. And I understand the addiction part.
Yeah. Cause you're like, because I need something to just take my mind away from this.
Right.
Thing.
To heal you. But then also when you get off stage and you have a killer set, there's a lot of comics that want to continue that high from the actual performance, from them crushing, from all this love from the audience, and then they go back to their room and there's nobody,
right?
You know, so they got to maintain that high. That's why I think that's why it's dangerous. And I've tried to never mix it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's do you drink when you're on stage?
Not when I'm on stage, but I'll drink afterwards.
Yeah.
And sometimes. Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, you know, you get the adulation from the people and people want to buy you drinks and hang out. So you kind of, you know, I mean, I definitely feel, I feel bad for the people that, you know, for certainly have issues with it because, you know, that's very prevalent.
Yeah. There's a couple comics that I knew well that were crushers that if they were not high, they wouldn't go on stage. Mm. Like their creativity, they felt like their creativity was like when they wrote and when they performed, it came from this. And I was like, what if you're not one time and you got to go up or you're standing at the improv, someone doesn't show and they want to throw you on and you're sober.
Yeah. Like, I think George Carlin has a quote where he says, you got to, you know, you write sober and then you punch up high.
That's a good, I should try that.
Exactly,
except for my stuff is all to put me to sleep. So that would, I mean, like,
what'd you write? I don't know.
So it's 2024. What's your New Year's resolution or what do you want from this year? I mean, that could be career wise, personally.
I want to be paid my worth.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
So I'd like to come up a few brackets and, you know, just keep staying creative. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, you just, anytime you know, the downtime is the tough time.
Yeah.
When you're not, because if you're not writing or creative or, you know, doing something like this, you know, it's tough. You know, you get, you just think and get mired in thoughts and versus like actually being productive and creative. So that's certainly like something I want to make sure I can do is just stay creative and just keep doing good work, you know?
Yeah. I've found that I've been turning down more gigs where before my desperation was like,
I'll do it.
I can't say no. I can't, I don't know where the next gig is coming from. I got to take that shit $400 gig.
Right.
That's like 3 hours away. I need it.
One nighter that you got to go. Yeah.
Right. Right. So now there's actually shows that I'm like, nah, I'm good. And
for
that,
sure.
Honestly, awesome. I'm at 23 years in and you're even longer than me. And it's just now within the past couple of years where I'm like, I'm okay.
Not doing that.
Or I'll do that gig, but now that you need to fly me out of here or I'm not taking a connecting flight.
But
or,
I fully believe that works because, you know, you, when you don't speak up against it, you know, or you know, you got to visualize and then go out there and accomplish it.
Yeah.
And like you said, when somebody offers you something that's, you know, I don't want to say beneath you, but you know, things that you're now going to refuse to do, better things open up, you know.
Yeah. You were talking about that, having girls after the show, right? That is such a huge thing for the guys. That works for men.
Yeah, it's different for girls,
it's
for sure.
It's so different for us.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
It's actually almost the opposite. If you crush as a woman on stage.
Well, y'all get like, I don't know, y'all get like collateral damage, I think.
Yes.
Y'all get these people that I think may, you know, maybe just think they have a shot or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's very, very, very strange.
Yep.
Because you have to fend off. We more or less kind of choose. We're like,
yeah,
that one's giving me the eye. Oh, that one said hello. And yeah, we're hitting it off. Here we go.
That one's cute.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. One's cute. And you just instantly start talking. Right.
Right.
Versus you get, you know, Billy Joe Bob, who's, you know.
Yeah. Either totally hammered.
Exactly.
Or usually.
You're funny for a girl.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that,
God,
you know, that kills me when women say that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've had women go, I don't even like female comics, but I liked you. And I'm like, I wanted to scratch your eyes out. Well, how could you? You're a woman. We're on the same team.
Let's go. Empowerment.
We need to
encourage
one another. Oh, it kills me. But usually the kind of guys that will approach a female comic that's strong are the weird ones. that I don't know how to phrase it. I think most guys are like, oh, she's too intimidating, or you have to have a little bit of this.
Do you like falcons? I have a falcon.
That's exactly, you're the guy.
Yes,
you're the guy. Even the way you're doing your lips right now.
Yeah, he's in the car right now. Hold on a second. Scribber!
That's exactly.
Coming right now.
Oh my gosh, you look familiar. You look familiar.
He can bring food.
A falcon is much better than a kid. I will tell you that. At least you have that. I would date the fucking guy over a dude with four kids. I don't know.
They're in the car too. They're in the truck.
Yeah.
They're just settling down. Make sure they're quiet. Yeah. I don't envy you guys and how you.
No, it's definitely.
I'm glad. It's interesting you brought that up because it is totally different.
It's very totally. I would be in the green room and just girl after girl would come up to these more celebrity comics, or even not, but just if they're attractive and they're funny. It ups the game for them by 50%.
I call it the 2 week barrier, because it's like they've known you for 2 weeks. You don't have to deal with the BS. What do you do? What do you like? What do you?
Yeah.
There's no figuring me out. It's like you know me.
Yeah.
So
you just saw me for an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you just saw me talk and do.
You heard my stories and you're here.
I'm on stage. I'm talking loud. I'm authoritative.
Right.
I'm confident. It's like. Yeah, for sure.
It's actually the opposite. I think if I probably didn't do well on stage, I might have a guy come and console me because he's still the one that's higher up. You know what I'm saying? Like
maybe that could be your act.
And then
you cry and run off stage.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hot.
I'm trying to get out of these clothes.
I know.
Look at tears all over me. I'm wet with tears. Yeah, I think that would work for you. I think you would get a better quality of man.
I know.
You would get a protector and you would get, you know.
Yeah, that's true. If I really cared about it. If you get
desperate enough, then you can do that, you know.
All right, I'll do that. Funny. But I'm going to only have, here's what I'll do. I'm going to advertise it as hot men only can come into this
hot
audience.
Hot men only show, yes.
Yeah, you have to be complete. Yeah. And then I'll cry. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Alpha male. Alpha men only.
Yeah.
No betas
super
allowed.
Hot. You go to the gym. You don't live with your mom. Dudes that have a job. Yes, for sure. I'll cry. I cry now for that. I'm not even on stage.
The six figures only show. You got to make 100K. They're going to get out.
100K? Who are you dating? Oh my gosh. That's like 250 starting. That's
see again. It's different for men.
I know.
I don't care what you make.
Right. Of course.
She could work at Wendy's.
Who was your last girlfriend? What did she do for a living?
Was a teacher, like a physical therapist teacher kind of thing.
Are you making her up? Did you not have a girlfriend the past couple of years?
Well, it was a while ago, but it was like she had like two jobs. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And was she okay? Did she have trust issues when you went on the road? Because that happens a lot.
Well,
with
I did have one relationship where it was definitely trust issues.
Yes.
And yeah, that was some weird shit because I've never experienced that level of like, where have you
jealousy
been?
Jealousy and all that. Yeah. Always checking in. You have to always check in after a show.
Oh, man. Oh, checking in and always just having to say like where I am.
Yeah.
And what, you know.
Yeah.
I can't. What are you doing? Where are you?
Like, yes.
Outside?
Yeah. Yeah.
One time I went to the movies and she's like, who did you go to the movies with? I'm like, I went by myself.
Yeah.
You know how we do.
And then sometimes they can't believe it.
Yeah, they can't believe it. Like, you know, nobody goes to movies by yourself. I do. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I go sneak in at the right time. In 3 hours, you can get in two movies for sure.
Exactly.
You know, you skip the credits of one and, you know.
Yeah. I had.
But it's just funny. The trust issues was different.
I had a boyfriend that showed up to a gig in Nevada from here. Just showed up to the casino that I was working at just to see if I was going to be doing anything.
Catch you in a lie.
Yeah.
I went to the casino. You weren't there.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I said, because I was just having dinner with the other comic. The show was done. I had so much fun with my set. And then out of the corner of my eye,
another comic.
I see him walking by.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, that's my boyfriend. What is he doing here? Here I am thinking like he's cheating on me.
Did he play it off?
He's at the casino.
He's like, oh, Lisa.
Yes,
he did.
Oh, whatever. He was like, yep. I was just coming to surprise. I'm like, you were fucking lurking. Wow. You were watching me.
I know lurker behavior. That was, you peered from around the slot machines.
Yes, exactly. And I just, it's so hard to find someone that you trust that will actually allow you to do your dream.
Right.
Like, for men and women, I think the same thing with the guys. That's why the more we work, I think the harder it is for us to have a significant other.
Yes, for sure.
I'm so glad you came on the show. And actually, you don't even live in LA anymore.
No, I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Mm-hmm. How is comedy there? Do you like the scene out there?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's some things are a little different, a little weird. And, you know, I think you have, you know, the variety of shows out here is probably a little bit bigger than what you get in Atlanta. You kind of get more specified stuff in Atlanta, you know?
Right. So you're doing the road anyway.
Yeah, I'm doing the road anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get home and I'm like, yeah, I just want to watch TV.
Yeah, you know? I know. I get that way too. Sometimes I come home and I'm like, I have been gone for 8 days. I'm good.
Yeah. I don't like, need to go out to the club tonight.
Right. 10 shows. I'm good. I don't need to.
Right.
It's yeah. So
and I will when I, you know, if I'm back and I'm, you know, off for a few days and
right.
You know, yeah, I'll go to the clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nice to just veg out. What do you have coming up that you want to plug on the show? I mean, we have 4 followers, I think. So
yes.
I mean,
hi, 4 followers. more stand-up shows. I'm doing a lot of cruises coming up this year.
Cool.
And I shot a pilot for a game show this past year that we're going to try to pitch around. So
nice. We'll
see what happens and, you know, climb the ladder.
Okay. So what's your social media? Let them know.
RT Comedy on Instagram and YouTube. So if you want to look at some funny sketches and stand up bits and stuff like that.
Awesome.
And I post pictures and everything like that.
Awesome. And we're going to put the information right on the bottom of the screen.
There we go.
If you want to comment on
right here.
It's going to come on the bottom of the screen. He's being very Vanna White right now. That's perfect. I love it. This has been Lisa Alvarado with Find the Funny. You guys subscribe. Ask some questions. What questions do you want to hear comedians answer honestly on this show? Because it's so fun pulling the curtain back and actually getting to know the comics and what we go through on stage and off. And our writing techniques. So if you guys have questions, put them down in the comments. That'd be great. And tell your friends. Subscribe on YouTube. Thank you so much for stopping by to Find the Funny with Lisa Alvarado. This is RT. Say hi. Bye. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I hope everybody listens to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.